Good afternoon and welcome to third quarter 2016 results conference call. Joining me today are Gianmario Tondato, our Group CEO, and Alberto De Vecchi, our Group CFO. As usual, I have to draw your attention to the disclaimer on page two. All the numbers we will be referring to are on constant exchange rate basis, unless we say otherwise. Let me remind you that, according to the International Accounting Principle, the disposal of Autogrill Nederland, our subsidiary managing motorways and hotel in Holland, is discontinued applying International Financial Reporting Standard number 5. So, in our accounts, the contribution of this subsidiary is shown in a single line, below profit from continuing operation. We restated the 2015 figures accordingly. Now, let me turn the call over to Gianmario Tondato and Alberto De Vecchi, who will take you through all the numbers. Following the presentation, we will open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Elisabetta. Good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to our nine-month results. We are pleased with our results for the period. Revenue was up about 5% and EBITDA up around 12%. All regions contributed, with North America and International driving the healthy top-line growth, thanks to a very strong performance at the airports. Europe delivered significant improvement in EBITDA and EBITDA margin, despite the lack of growth and the Brussels terror attacks. Our net profit was up over 70%, and net operating cash flow after CapEx increased by around 40 million euros. This confirms that we are delivering on our strategy, which is based on leveraging on our leadership position in North America, growing in new geographies such as Northern Europe and emerging markets, and focusing on efficiency in continental Europe. In the ninth month, we also made excellent progress on our portfolio. We have cemented our leadership position in North America, winning and rewinning and renewing a number of contracts. And I must say I'm particularly proud of the renewal for a period that goes from 2020 to 2030 at Charlotte Airport, top 10 U.S. airport, where we have delivered over 120 million of sales in 2015. So a very important piece of portfolio extended. We also acquired CMS, reinforcing our position at Los Angeles and Las Vegas airports. As you know, bolt-on acquisitions are part of our strategy to grow, especially in North America. And in addition, we also purchased Stellar Partners, a well-reputed and innovative retail operator in the convenience sector at the airports. Stellar has a skilled and experienced team, and will remain independent in order to leverage its know-how. We think that with our help, Stellar has the opportunity to grow in the convenience sector, in which we are not yet, and with a market value in the U.S. airport infrastructure that is around $1.5 billion. This acquisition will give a further boost to our growth in the region, in a sector that is complementary to the rest of the group. International also won a number of contracts, both in Northern Europe, Middle East, and Far East, including Beijing, Abu Dhabi, and Bergen, which is the second largest airport in Norway. At the same time, we continue to optimize our portfolio in Europe by selling our French railway business, as it had a limited growth potential. We also sold the Dutch motorways business, which includes hotels that are not part of our core competence and that require significant investments. In Italy, I'm satisfied with what we have achieved so far in the ongoing Italian motorway renewals. The renewal process has been long and complex, with different landlords and operators and a variety of bid processes, which are still going on. 18 months ago, I expected a lower rent environment due to a weak economy, but it's changing. Now we're seeing growth in traffic and the first sign of an improving economy environment. This is leading to more competition in the renewal process, and as a result, we're being more aggressive too, going for volume as we see potential to grow sales in the year ahead. We have already won 180 million euros of contracts, this is, of course, yearly based, resulting in a retention rate of more than 80%. And there are still 110 million of contracts up for renewal, of which we have about 50%. The bid process regarding this contract has not yet been launched. In conclusion, a solid performance by the group in the 9 months, and now Alberto, as usual, will take you through the numbers in much more detail.
Thank you, Gianmario, and good afternoon. Sales within the group are running at different pace. North America and international driving sales at high speed, and Europe more stable. In the first 9 months, our group sales grew by 4.9%, driven by an increase of our like-for-like sales of 2.8% and counter gains exceeding losses by 2.5%. This growth was reflected in an increase in EBITDA of 12% with an improvement of EBITDA margin of around 70 basis points. If we exclude the capital gain on the disposal of the French railway stations, our EBITDA has grown by around 7% and EBITDA margin is up 20 basis points. EBIT increased by 33.6% as a consequence of our growth and the reduction in depreciation and amortization. This led to a net profit of close to 98 million euro, an increase of over 75% on last year's figure. Our strong profitability in all our regions contributed to the very positive free cash flow, which so far amounted to around 150 million after capital expenditure, 40 million more than in the first 9 months of 2015. This cash generation allowed us to fund acquisitions and also distribute more than 30 million in dividends. Let me now take you through the regions, starting with North America, where in the 9 months we deliver strong sales, which gained momentum in the third quarter. In the 9 months, performance was driven by like-for-like of 4.1% and by net counter gains contributing about 2%. The net balance of acquisitions and disposals is slightly negative in the region, as the newly acquired CMS contributed sales for just 1 month in the last quarter, in fact, while 2015 was still including some residual revenue of the U.S. retail business sold toward duty free. At the beginning of the summer season, we were aware that our margins would have been impacted by an increase of the average hourly wages, as this is a phenomenon that has been relevant for the whole restaurant industry in U.S. Hourly wages have increased in the area of 5% in the industry, and we are no exception as we are the leading operator in the concession catering in U.S. and wanted to remain attractive to keep and hire talented people in our organization. As a consequence, we decided to push hard on commercial initiatives and go after sales, as this is the short-term action that better allows us to keep increasing margins in absolute terms. And as a matter of fact, in the third quarter, our revenues was up close to 7%, outpacing the growth of the region in the first 6 months, and our EBITDA grew by close to 2%. The quarter has shown increases of both the number of transactions and the average ticket. The strategy of pushing on sales was particularly rewarding in our U.S. airports, where we grew by 8.7% in the quarter. Besides our commercial efforts, we also benefited from TSA actions to reduce queues, which led to longer dwell times in the commercial areas. Our sales in motorways grew by 3%, a good result if we consider that, in general, capture is more difficult in motorways than at airports. As I said before, the single line in our cost structure which is under pressure is labor, whose incidence on sales increased by 60 basis points in the third quarter 2016, equally split between payrolls and other labor costs, mainly healthcare insurance. On the 9 months, however, the pressure on the percent margins was eased by a very positive performance in terms of cost of goods sold, driven by sales mix and still relative low prices of food raw materials. Moving to international, in the first 9 months, we delivered sales up over 30%, one-third of the result from like-for-like and the rest from net contract gained. In the third quarter, sales grew by 23%, driven by both regions, with Europe reflecting our entry into Dutch railway channel. We deliver strong sales performance at Amsterdam Airport, up over 12%, as well as in Vietnam, up 45%, and India, up 20%. EBITDA for the quarter increased by over 15%. The margin of the region is still very high at close to 15%, and the dilution is due to the startup phase of our new Dutch railway station business, which is a lower margin business compared to the rest of the region. And finally, to Europe. Let's go to Europe, starting with Italy, that in the first 9 months produced sales slightly down compared to previous year, also due to a continued rationalization of the portfolio. The decline in sales in the third quarter is mostly due to the lack of one event, the Expo in Milan, which contributed significantly to the performance of last year, especially in the northern part of our network. Notwithstanding the slight reduction in sales and consistent with the first half, EBITDA grew also in absolute terms in the third quarter. The margin in the quarter was up 100 basis points in Italy, mainly due to a sales mix with more F&B and less ancillary products, the renewal of the snacks and the coffee-related offer at our coffee shops, the new labor contract, and the enhancement of our product manufacturing and logistics. In the rest of Europe, sales were down 0.7% for the 9 months due to the disposal of the French railway stations and the performance of Belgium, which has been affected by the bombing in March. If we exclude these extraordinary events, our like-for-like sales in the region grew by 2.3%, and the net balance between contract gain and lost was positive by 2.6%. Moving to the third quarter, the reduction you see in sales and EBITDA in this region is only due to the disposal of the railway station in France and the poor performance in Belgium. Moving now to the current trading, after the closure of the third quarter, sales as of week 43 continue to grow in line with the trend for the year, with North America accelerating further, international continuing at a strong pace, and Europe stable. Following the performance of our regions and the fact that in 2016 our recent acquisition of CMS and Stellar offset our divestment of the Dutch motorways, we confirmed the full year guidance we gave you in July. In conclusion, we are delivering on our strategy. The third quarter was defined by strong sales, especially in North America. And on the 9 months, we have delivered strong results and cash flow generation, coupled with sizable enhancement of our portfolio across the board. Thank you. And now Gianmario and I will take your questions.
Again, if you have a question, please press star one. The first question comes from Sam Ramskill of Credit Suisse.
Thank you. It's Tim Ramskill from Credit Suisse. Two questions, please. The first is, could you just talk a little bit more about the outlook for wage inflation in the US in terms of how you expect that to sort of trend in terms of Q4 and into 2017? And then I guess a similar question, but moving to Italy. So as you've mentioned, you know, strong progress on margins given actions in prior year. Do you again expect that benefit to still be showing through into Q4 and into 2017, please?
Can you repeat the second question, please?
Yes, yeah, sorry. In terms of the margin outlook in Italy, you in the statement you mentioned that actions in the previous year, I guess SP1, et cetera, have benefited you. Just wondering if you expect that benefit still to be showing through in Q4 and also in 2017. Thank you.
Talking about the labor, you know, in the U.S., rising costs across the F&B industry in the United States. You know, the unemployment rate is come down substantially, and the wages pressure continuing to build, as well as the employer cost for providing health benefits. In the short term, we are of course continuing to fine tune our operation, our staffing approach, and I must say we're getting pretty good on doing this, and so working on productivity and trying to gain what we are losing or may lose actually in the hourly cost. In the longer term, I think, you know, that the margin can be preserved because the industry, of course, is not something that is affecting us, but it's something that is affecting the whole industry. So the margin is going to pass on the prices, and the higher cost of labor is going to be somehow passed on on the price. There's no question about that. That's the trend that everybody is pursuing. And the second thing is that I think digital is an important answer to this labor cost pressure, because, you know, just to give you an idea, the self-ordering kiosk, you know, that is something that we see every day, you know, in different industries becoming, we're testing a lot of them, it's becoming very popular, and it's something that is going to really to improve our top line and also our cost of sales. I think that's cost of labor, and that's something that is very effective so far. So we have a strategy also that is going to be deployed very soon on that. You know.
Okay. On the second question regarding the margins on Italy, some of the actions that we mentioned will continue, and possibly, hopefully, we will continue in 2017. One of the most important elements for the improvement in the profitability in the first 9 months is, in fact, the new labor contract that has been introduced last year in the third quarter. So starting from fourth quarter of the year, we don't have any more the advantage of the comparative of the previous year, because the contract that we applied in the fourth quarter 2015 is the one that we are applying today. So this part will disappear, will be digested. The rest will continue.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
The next question is from Cecchini Alessandro of Equita.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is about the net working capital that provided some cash, 20 million over the first 9 months. I would like to better understand this trend. And secondly, I would like to focus on the margins of Europe, so actually minus 80 bips in the third quarter. I would like to better understand what kind of trend we could have, excluding the new concession of the Dutch Railways, just to understand the underlying trend. Thank you.
I start answering to the first question, that is the working capital. Well, the improvement, the cash generation through the working capital is mainly related to more sales. But when we generate more sales, we generate out of the working capital. The single line that had the most of the effect is a reduction in inventory that is driven by the strong sales, especially in North America.
Okay.
Just a second, because we are recapping about your second question. Just a second.
Yes.
No.
Because what we didn't understand at which kind of let's say dilution of margins you are referring to, whether to the rest of Europe, Europe as a whole, including Italy. So if you can repeat, explain.
Ah, okay, sorry. Just on Europe, so excluding Italy, because you stated during the call that the dilution was in other Europe was related to the new concession that you acquired with lower margins. Just to want to understand if we exclude this kind of addition, what kind of trend we could have in Europe. So just to maybe qualitative, just to understand if also in Europe your actions to cut the cost or to be more efficient are paying off as well in Europe. Thank you.
Now I got it. No, unfortunately, probably I was not, I didn't explain myself well, because when I was mentioning the Dutch railways, in fact, they're in international, they're not in Europe.
Okay.
International, and when we said that this is a low margin business, because we are comparing with the margin that we do in international, in airports like in Asia, where the margins are by far larger and much more important than in railway stations.
Okay.
So the channel issue is not an issue related to a good contract or a bad contract.
Okay.
This is as far as the margin of the Dutch railways. In fact, when we are speaking about dilution in margins regarding to rest of Europe, it is mainly driven by the fact that mainly is in Belgium, and because in Belgium we still have some stores that are still closed in the Brussels airport because of the bomb in March, and in that case is obviously we have some inefficiency, because you have the footprint there and you are not able to generate the sales that the airport might be able to do in a normal situation.
Okay.
I think that is temporary.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Messaj Jafar of JP Morgan.
Hi, good afternoon. I have two questions, please. The first one is on the US labor cost inflation. This was already happening in Q1 and in Q2, but so far you had been able to completely offset this with gross margin benefits and with productivity initiatives. So what was different in Q3? And going forward, when you said that there's probably more you can do, you've already talked about kiosks, etc., as of H1. So are there any new initiatives that are being launched specifically in Q4 and into next year? And my second question is on the acquisition of Stellar Partners. Can you maybe discuss why going into convenience stores is interesting here? 1 year ago, you sold your U.S. retail business as part of the World Duty Free demerger. How different is this new acquired business in terms of exactly the product mix, and why is it more relevant to your existing food offer?
Let me start with the last question. I think, you know, it was 3 years ago, not last year, but so we sold to World Duty Free our retail operation in the U.S., and it was very different because, you know, it was a division of HMS Host, and it wasn't an independent company. So basically, as a result of that, every time we were bidding for the F&B, a big package, you know, we had to. It was a sort of collateral damage. We came to lose or we were really under pressure on the retail side of the business because it was very small, you know, compared to the F&B. Now we took a completely different approach. So it's an independent company. It's not a division. It's run by independent people. We acquire 100% of the shares, and they stay with us. You know, so we provide them with funds. We have a couple of board members. One of the two. And we are going to design a strategy to grow this sector. That's the idea. So, to position the company as an independent company as it is. First. Second thing. There are only two players now in the U.S. in very convenience retail left. One is Hudson, and the other one is Paradis. So I think there is room, you know, for a third player and space for a third player to grab some market share in the market. Considering also that the market right now in the U.S. is more or less 1.5 billion, so it's a material market. Last but not least, as you can see, you know, traveling is blurring. The situation is blurring. So the convenience stores are starting to sell, or they are selling, actually, not starting. They are selling drinks, soft drinks, you know, sandwiches, pre-made sandwiches. So I think it's a must for us to enter this market, to gain control and to gain market share in something, you know, can tomorrow become a sort of a competitor in our sector. Talking about the bigger F&B market. Talking about the U.S. labor, what I can say is that, you know, of course, to pass through into the prices, you know, the cost labor, it takes a while. It's not something that you can do overnight. Also, in a situation like our situation, which we are linked and locked with the street pricing. And so we basically, when we have a brand that is an outside brand, we operate an outside brand, we have to wait for the price increase of the outside brand. That's the first consideration. The second is that, you know, in the past, the trend was here, but it wasn't so consistent. Now in the last, and this is fueled also because of the low unemployment rate, you know, and basically now is really tough. I don't know if you follow, but it's a tough market to hire people in this situation in the United States. I don't know if you follow what is happening with Starbucks, for instance, that is increasing the wages in a very important way, and Walmart and many retailers in, you know, the United States. We are in the same situation. I think it's a temporary. I've been in this situation many times in my professional life. It's something that is temporary because, you know, the market reacts and the prices goes up, you know, and more people are looking for jobs, you know, and that's it's a temporary situation. I don't think it's something that is going to affect our profitability in the long run, and that's important. On the other hand, we have also to consider the technology. Technology is changing our industry, and we're working on that. It's not something that we can do overnight, of course, you know.
Okay, and I mean, just to wrap up on this, in Q1 and in Q2, you were absorbing all of that. So in Q3, what's different? Is it that the increase in labor costs is much
yes,
stronger? Or, okay.
No. If you can allow me to give some say more details on subject, is that in the first half of the year, as well as in 2015, in fact, we have continued to see increases mainly in, say, the other cost of labor, that is mainly what we call indirect cost of labor, that is especially health insurance. That is consistent with also the Obamacare and so on, and this is quite normal in the industry. And that has been digested through an improvement in the cost of goods sold. In the third quarter, we had the two effects, because we continue to see the increase in the direct cost, but we also had an increase in the payrolls. And this is also driven by the fact that in between the second and the third quarter, we hired a lot of people because of the season. So we got more the impact than in the previous two quarters. That is the reason you have two impact on the cost of labor. And although you are good in managing the cost of goods sold, you cannot completely digest the impact.
Okay, thanks. It's very clear.
The next question comes from Sala Francesco of Banca Akros.
Yes, good evening. Thanks for taking my questions. I'd like to have an update on the timing of the renewal process in Italy. And secondly, I was wondering whether what you are seeing in terms of prices and locations and whether you see any need to adjust your strategy accordingly or to change it. Thank you.
Just to give, I give you some numbers, so I think it's easy. You know, the total amount of sales, of course, this is an estimate. You know, that goes for bid in 2016 and 2017 is around total market 470 million, something like that. You know, we're talking about the 14 location. So far, the process has been done for 31 locations, and of which 77 were owned by or run by Autogrill. And now Autogrill won 60 locations so far, you know. So, as I said, 80% of potential retention rate, and that's the potential rate. So we have still 83 locations that are going out for bid, and that's what we know today. The timing of the process, we're talking a very long process made by Orlando. The timing of the process is not in our control. So far that's what happened, you know. We're waiting for a new RFP almost every week, and that's what it is. You know, I think we adapted our strategy because, you know, talking about what we did, you know, I think the market is definitely better in Italy. So we have more competition. The starting, if you want, a little bit of flavor, the starting point of the rent that is important, but not the key thing in which you bid, because there is a brand portfolio, a lot of the capex that they're going to put, and the quality of the operations, or a bunch of things that they are evaluating, is a little bit lower than what it was in the past. And so far, we have seen competition, and we are also competing quite hard, you know. And I'm quite satisfied. I think, you know, we are extending our base, and it's going to be an interesting process. I think what I find very, very positive is that, you know, for the next 5, 6, 7 years, you know, we are not going to have any major big process in Italy. So we can work on our network, rebuild all these industries, work on products, work on brands. So that's exactly, it's a sort of situation, perfect situation to rebuild a network in Italy.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Masser Jafar of JP Morgan.
Hi there. Sorry, just a follow-up question, which I'm actually wondering whether it relates to Italy and the situation you have with the contract renewals. Somewhere in the release, you explained depreciation coming down by the fact that some contracts have reached their natural end life. Are we talking about those that are expired but which de facto you continue to operate, and in which case you fully depreciated them? But in that case, when you get the renewal, will depreciation go back up as you start the investments, or is this something that's completely structural and will stay as it is?
No, a part of the decline is in fact what you were mentioning. That is, we continue to manage in some cases a contract that were meant to be finished before, and in that case you don't have any more the depreciation on assets that are still generating revenues. So that is part of the effect. It's not only that, but part of it is there.
Okay, thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star 1. There are no questions at the moment. Again, if you have a question, please press star 1. There are no questions at the moment.
Thank you very much for your attention. Have a nice evening.